This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 5:38. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are going to be looking at our next story, which is for those of us who have been staying up late recently, not just because we're night owls, but rather to salvage what free time we have left from the day or to have some me time. And this is, this has actually spawned the phrase, which I'd never heard before, revenge bedtime procrastination. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's where you vengefully take back the personal time you feel was lost to the workday. And this is even if it hurts your health in the long run because of that lack of sleep. And if you're wondering why revenge bedtime procrastination sounds like it went through a Google Translate app, it's because perhaps it did. I mean, it first circulated on China's social media platforms. It was used to talk about the lifestyles of the modern day worker who's on the 9-9-6 schedule. So that's 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. And so for many of us that have begun working from home, I think work-life boundaries, which perhaps were already flimsy to begin with, are now even weaker. Many people are working more or at weirder hours, our bosses contacting us regardless of what time of day it is. And we're expected to always be on, available, ready to hop on a call, which can leave little room for rest or decompression during the day. So we wanted to examine this idea of the hours in our day that we need to reclaim, and also to look at this behavior, revenge bedtime procrastination, which is where you just push your bedtime later and later because after work, you want to be able to reclaim some hours for yourself, doing stuff that's just for you. Is this something that you do? Do you find that your sleep has become a little bit different or a bit messed up, during this year or even before that, just because of work? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be crossing over to Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagathevi Jagathesan, who's the Director of the Center for Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's. So any questions you might have, send them our way and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:44 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about revenge bedtime procrastination, or the idea that after working a full day, you push your bedtime that much later just to be able to reclaim some hours of the day for yourself, just to do what it is that you want to do, even though it costs you sleep in the long run. We want to know if this is something you identify with. It's certainly something that I do. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagathevi Jagathesan, Director of the Center for Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's University. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
So what do you make of this idea of revenge bedtime procrastination?
I love the fact that there's a name for something I do. it's something that's rather new in the psychosphere kind of thing, and it's an interesting concept, which is true. I mean, especially nowadays with the internet and with work from home, I think it's actually increasing. I don't think it's decreasing.
So you mentioned that this is something you do. It's something I do as well. Did you notice that you were doing it? And, have you made any attempts to kind of stop the slide into the AM hours from happening?
It depends on the day, to tell you the truth. I mean, because sometimes it's not only work. And this is something which I think that, it's not just the work. It's sometimes we do this revenge, especially when it becomes, at work, we are muted, we feel a bit harassed, we feel a bit trapped, we feel like, the whole day has been for other people, and, we've been doing stuff for other people. And then at night, if I'm just sleeping, it seems like, I'd rather, there's no me time. I know some people say that sleep is me time, but not really. You get what I mean? Do you see what I'm getting at? So I think that yes, it is about work, but it's not just on normal working days. It is on days where we feel that work has taken more of us than it normally should.
And do you think that this is a product of work culture as a whole? Is it something that people are increasingly sliding into this year, or it predates everything that 2020 has brought?
I think that one requires a little bit more research for me to make an absolute guess whether it predates this, you know, this time or not. But I have noticed that since MCO, mine has gone up, especially, you know, with the work from home. And then when you have home and family issues, when you work from home and family issues at the same time, and then at night is the only time you have silence, you know, for yourself, then the revenge comes in and I don't want to sleep. I want to just do something for me.
So let's talk about that something for me, right? Why do you think this idea of having that me time is so essential that some are willing to sacrifice sleep? You know, one tweet in the Chinese social media sphere even called it necessary for survival.
I think that right now it has become a time when our work has infringed on what we last time would consider our private space. Mm. So especially during this CMCO, MCO and COVID-19, what has happened is historically would have been, I come home from work and to a certain extent my bosses cannot interfere. But with Twitter, with, you know, WhatsApp, especially with, you know, the work being on WhatsApp. So actually it may have predated it. I do think it was more a social media thing than the actual individuals involved. Where due to the social media interactions, our work and office kind of clashed. So now I'm sitting at home, I may be at my dining table, but I still get calls from work. I still have to, you know, immediately after work, I still have to respond to things. So then the time when nobody is disturbing me and I have like one undisturbed hour is so much more rare than what it used to be. So I need that one undisturbed hour just for me. And when I'm sleeping, I don't notice that hour.
I'm just curious because I think that for me, at least, I personally will get very restless, very irritated. I just become much more difficult to live with if I don't have that me time. What do you think are the ill effects of not being able to have, even like you said, that one rare precious hour?
You kind of nailed it when you said all of that just now. Everything is true. We get more frustrated. We get more, you know, we get more cranky the next day. If we do it for one day and then the next day we make up for it in our sleep, it's not that much of an issue. But if you're doing it for 2-3 days, if you're interrupting your sleep for 2-3 days, you are going to create long-term problems for yourself because then it becomes a habit. You reduce your overall sleep time, you know, and then with reduction of sleep, you have all kinds of bad impact on people, including weight gain, including, you know, bad moods, inability to lose weight, inability to focus at work the way you used to focus, and then requiring pills in order to sleep. You know, then people need drugs in order to sleep because then they can't go to sleep. So one of the things about it is that, you know, you're taking revenge against yourself at the end of the day. So if you're making up for it the next day by actually going to sleep, then it's okay. But if you never make up for it, and you can get away with it to a certain extent when you're a teenager, but once you're an adult, we do need our sleep. And especially if we have a whole day at work. So then people find themselves dozing off at strange times in their cars. So it can lead to, sleep loss is always something that can lead to a lot more problems than solutions. So yeah, like take revenge for one day and then get over it and, you know, go to sleep. Sleep properly. Okay, that is needed.
And I think part of that, the long-term thing is, or the desire for supposed repeated revenge, right, is that a lot of people feel there just aren't enough hours in the day and there is a pressure to utilize our time productively, and productive often means that it must contribute to your output at work. How can we tackle this perception in a healthy way to begin to have that separation?
This is not something I'm only saying now. I'm saying this all the time. There has to be a workspace and there has to be a time when you switch off your handphones and you don't answer. I mean, you know, office pays you, your workplace pays you for a certain amount of things. If you're not doing your own business, you're not living to work. You're working to live. Those are two different concepts. And if we have come in, if we are in a position in our lives where, you know, we are so obsessed with work that we have no time for our family, we have no time for ourselves, we have no time for self-care, then you're putting yourself in a very you know, high risk situation. You're going to have your blood pressure go up, stress goes up, anxiety goes up, you know, paranoia goes up, and counselors get a lot of work. I mean, mental health is a booming industry because people are just not looking at their own self-care. And I would actually advocate for y'all to give us less, you know, to give us less business and look after yourself. Look after what you need to look after so you don't have to go for counseling. Because, you know, if we can help. I mean, counselors can definitely help when you've got all these issues, anxiety, you know, pressure, depression and all that. But I would really much rather everybody, you know, do preventive measures rather than after you've got a problem. It's always easier to manage it before it becomes a problem. And as much as it's cute to say revenge sleep, I think one of the big question is, who are you taking revenge upon? And when you use the word revenge, I mean, somebody is going to get something negative from it. And it's an apt word to use, but people are using it, you know, if you're laughing about it or you're joking about it, it's fine. But then the question that comes back is, who are you taking revenge upon? The person that you're taking revenge upon ultimately is going to be yourself. So you may have that pleasure of doing your own thing for a few hours, but then if you continue to do it, the detriment is going to be to you. And your boss, you know what? They're not going to care. The people that put you in that situation, they may pay for a little while and then they'll say, okay, what, maybe you need to move on and look after your health and not be in this company anymore. So, you know, what are we doing to ourselves if we do not take care of our own wellness and our own overall health before we get sick? So the revenge is against yourself if you prolong this type of behavior. I mean, what if you're going to do it for one day because you really need to relax and not, you know, not just sleep, but relax, then okay, go ahead. But then after that, make up for it the next day and don't make a habit out of it.
What are some steps you'd suggest people maybe take if they notice that it hasn't been a day, it hasn't even been a week, it's been a month of this sort of behavior, and it's become built somewhat into habit, and so you need to kind of catch it before it gets worse? What are some, I guess, immediate steps that can be taken to stop this?
Set an alarm for when you're going to go to sleep and switch off the handphone. Switch off the TV, switch off the handphone. You know, if you really need to, switch it off. Do not put it on sleep mode because, you know, do not put it on a mode where it will wake you up. Prioritize the time you want to go to sleep and actually set an alarm for the time you're going to sleep. Because I'm embarrassed to say that there was once or twice where I had to do that myself because I was going up to, I'm a gamer, so that sometimes, you know, you're gaming and then you get caught up in the game and you're gaming until 4 a.m. and you're not sleeping. So I actually had to put an alarm to stop myself. And it worked, but it was kind of embarrassing doing it. So, so if worse come to worse and we really find that we cannot, we are overextending ourselves. We are overestimating the impact of age on our sleep. You know, so we need our sleep. And when we do that, we have to take measures. And one of the biggest things I can think of, the fastest way to do it is set an alarm for yourself for when you go to sleep and then turn off the devices. And lie in bed. And if you don't fall asleep immediately, don't get stressed. Lie in bed and just think of imaginative things. Let your brain go to imaginative states. If you are the kind of person that prays, think, you know, you can pray. If you're the kind of person that daydreams, go and daydream. And your daydreams, it can be fanciful daydreams or whatever. And don't worry about falling asleep. Just go, let my body relax on the bed and let it relearn that the bed is a place to sleep and not to Google YouTube, not to Google or YouTube or, you know, do other stuff. Because that creates that part of the habit. Because now our habit is we are lying down in bed and we are YouTubing. We are scrolling. So we are teaching our body that bed is not just to sleep. It is also to do these other things. And that is a bad habit.
So I wanted to finish off with this question, which is, I think, to try to address this before it even becomes a problem, right? Before you feel that need to take revenge. Should we be trying to figure out what our optimum number of free hours are, you know, in the same way that we're trying to figure out the optimum number of sleeping hours?
I think that it's not only a number of free hours. I think we need to figure out the number of hours that we are, you know, that we put aside for self-care and understand that putting aside hours for self-care is not being selfish. Putting hours for self-care is essential. whether you're going to say that, okay, every now and then I need to put aside hours for massage, I need to sit down with my cup of tea, and during this time, nobody disturbs me. And if you're a mom and you're a busy mom, if it has to be, I have to lock my door, I have to lock my bathroom door, sit in the bathroom and, you know, and just sit in my bathtub and enjoy, you know, enjoy your drink in the bathtub, if that's what it needs to be, then that's what it needs to be. But, you know, that hour is not you being selfish. That is you being selfless, because in order to function in the long term, you need that time for yourself. You need that space where you get into, you are at peace with what you've done that whole day. And that is important. So, you know, setting time for yourself is fine, but we have this idea that we are being selfish when we set that time aside. And I'm honestly going to say that if you look at, you know, sending your car to a workshop every now and then is not being selfish for the car. You know, oh, I'm having have to send my car to the workshop, something wrong. No, I send the car to the workshop because in order for my car to last for a longer period of time, my car has to be serviced. Same way, the human body has to be serviced at more frequent intervals, because we use the human body much more often than we use the car. So take that time and put it aside, and do not let people guilt you that you are being selfish when you take that time for self-care. It is a critical time for your own physical as well as mental health. And that would be what I'd suggest.
Prof, thank you very much for speaking with us this evening.
My pleasure. It's a fun topic.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagathevi Jagathesan, Director of the Center for Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's University, talking to us about revenge bedtime procrastination, which is this phrase that's been coined to describe the behavior where you, in order to revenge the fact that you feel that you didn't have enough time, enough personal time in the day, you stay up later and you lose sleep. So let us know if this is something that you find yourself doing and if you have any coping mechanisms. I think I'm going to take Dr. Anasuya up on the suggestion to set an alarm for my own bedtime. Let us know your thoughts. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.